2 months ago today, the nation's toughest restrictions on abortion took effect in Texas, effectively ending access to the procedure there. Today, that law reached the highest court in the land again. John Yang begins our coverage by reminding us how we got here.
The law bans abortions as soon as ultrasound detects a flutter of cardiac activity. The only exception is for a woman's medical emergency. There are none for rape or incest.
The vast majority of women, by the time they even know they're pregnant, will not be eligible for an abortion in the state of Texas at this point.
Last month, the NewsHour visited Marva Sadler at the nonprofit Whole Woman's Health Clinic in Austin, where she's director of clinical services. The lobby of the abortion provider was empty, and staff feared legal risks for just working there. That's because the law is enforced by private citizens who are empowered to bring civil suits against anyone for even helping a woman get an abortion. And if the suit's successful, the person who brought it gets a cash award.
We have a $10,000 bounty on our heads now.
In September, a 5-justice majority of the Supreme Court allowed the law to remain in effect while being challenged in the courts.
A pregnant woman can't be sued under the law.
Rebecca Parma is senior legislative associate for Texas Right to Life, the anti-abortion group that helped draft the law.
This is holding the abortion industry accountable to make sure they're not profiting off killing preborn children.
Today's challenges to the law were brought by Sadler's Whole Woman's Health and the Biden administration.
This is the first abortion case for a Supreme Court reshaped by the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the addition of 3 justices nominated by former President Donald Trump. Marcia Coyle, chief Washington correspondent for the National Law Journal, was in the courtroom today for oral arguments, and she is in the studio now. Marcia, welcome. Well, we should make clear at the outset that today's arguments were not about abortion rights per se. What were they about?
John, they really boiled down to whether, who can sue to challenge this law, and whom do you sue? You have the United States saying it has a right to sue the state of Texas, and you have the abortion clinic, Whole Woman's Health, saying it has a right to sue state court judges, state court clerks, the attorney general, and others who may try to enforce this law. So that's what we were hearing today for nearly 3 hours of arguments, 2 separate cases, joined by the fact that both involve Texas's anti-abortion law.
And the justices really sort of probed the limits of the arguments on both sides. At one point, Chief Justice John Roberts asked the Texas Solicitor General about that provision in the law that gives someone who successfully brings a suit $10,000. Let's take a listen.
Assume that the bounty is not $10,000, but $1 million. Do you think in that case the chill on the conduct at issue here would be sufficient to allow federal court review prior to the end of the state court process?
Even if the amount of the sanction, again, I agree with you, $1 million would be tremendous. We could increase it further. No number would suddenly cause the federal courts to become more open.
It's not a question of the federal courts being more open. It's a question of anybody having the capacity or ability to go to the federal court, because nobody is going to risk violating the statute because they'll be subject to suit for $1 million.
John, this goes to an issue that was raised several times during the arguments, and that has to do with the chilling effect of the law on anyone seeking an abortion or trying to challenge an abortion, but mostly seeking an abortion or violating the law and getting an abortion and what they stand to be liable for. It's a lot of money, $10,000. It's a lot of money, $1 million. And several justices were concerned about the chilling effect and how this law in particular could be used by other states, not just in the abortion context, but to disfavor certain constitutional rights, gun rights, religious rights, on and on.
And then at another point, Justice Samuel Alito pushed the U.S. Solicitor General about the remedy they're seeking, which is to bar judges, Texas state judges, from even hearing these cases. Let's take a listen.
It's unprecedented, and it is contrary to our system of federalism to enjoin a state judge even from hearing a case. How can you enjoin a judge from performing a lawful act, which is the adjudication of a case that is filed before the judge.
The state court judges in Texas are being utilized by Texas to effectively create an apparatus that is so lopsided, so procedurally anomalous, and so hostile to constitutionally protected conduct that the mere existence of the suits, no matter how the judges adjudicate them, create the constitutional harm by chilling the conduct.
This, again, is going to who can be sued under this law. And the United States actually sued the state of Texas, but it did get an injunction in the lower court that included not only the state of Texas, but state court judges, state court clerks, individuals who may be involved in trying to enforce the law through civil suits. And I think the Solicitor General here was trying to show how the state can't just say, I don't enforce this law. And when there's a whole chain of authority that can go all the way down to the fact that they have enabled private citizens to sue abortion providers, anybody who aids and abets an abortion.
Any sense of, from the questioning, any sense of where the court's headed on this?
I'm always reluctant to do predictions here, but I had a sense that as the arguments proceeded, maybe a majority of justices became more sympathetic to Whole Woman's Health, the abortion clinic, going forward with its challenge in the lower courts. And that's about all that would happen if they ruled for Whole Woman's Health.
But the court will be hearing a case that is about abortion in 5 weeks, and how might that affect the timing of a decision on this?
Well, the court expedited, really sped up how it briefed and heard the arguments today in these two cases. On December 1st, they take up Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, in which the state of Mississippi has explicitly asked the Supreme Court, or urged it, to overturn its abortion rights decisions, Roe and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So, I don't know. I would expect that maybe the court will issue a decision in today's cases fairly quickly, since they can deal with the true challenge to Roe and Casey in the Mississippi case later.
Marcia Coyle, we'll be talking about those cases coming up. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, John.